Let's read the text again, if you will, from Ephesians 2, verse 12. It says that at that time you were without Christ, without Christ, without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God, and without God in this world. I spent the greater part of last week and the early days of this week ministering the gospel among poor, poor people. There's as much difference in the congregations and the people to whom I preached last week and this group almost as daylight and dark. The church parking lot is not full of cars. In fact, believe it or not, Danny Shanks told me not over 10% of the people on the island even know how to drive. They don't have cars. They don't have any cars. People ride buses or walk, and coming to church at Basseterre or Sandy Point where we preach, we loaded the van up. The van we helped Danny buy. One night going to church, we had 21 people on that van. Its capacity is 15. But there's always room for one more, believe me. Always room for one more. You might have to hold a cute little kinky-headed boy in your lap, but there's always room for one more. And, in fact, going to services two or three nights, made two trips in the van to pick people up. They don't have any money. They don't have facilities and luxuries and things like we have. One of the leading young men of the church, he's, I believe, 29 or 30, name is Dennis. We went by his house to borrow some piece of equipment. And Dennis lives on the street over here on the right in a little gray one-room frame house, one room. It's about, it looks like 10 feet wide and 8 feet long, and that's everything. That's his house. Dennis lives in one room. And then we went over to Kenneth's house. Kenneth Johnson is the man who preaches when Danny Shanks is gone. But Kenneth is about 38, married. He has eight children, and he's out of work, and he hasn't worked in months, and they just survive. There's Brother Harry. He came to church every night. He's a new man. He's 73 years old. I just fell in love with him. We became real buddies. He lives about three blocks from the church in a very small little house, and he's 73 years old. Never been married. But his mother lives with him. She's 93. And he takes care of his mother. And he's a pretty good-sized man. And he's a very happy old gentleman. He always wears his hat. And so we were outside church one night talking. He said, "You going to stay 5 months?" I said, "No, sir. I'm going to stay about 5 more days. He said, "Stay 5 months." I said, "I can't stay 5 months, Brother Harry. I got to go back." He said, "Well, come again soon." I said, "Harry, I said, where do you work?" He said, "I worked 40 years in the sugar factory." There's a sugar factory on the island. I said, "Harry, what do you do now?" He said, "I'm retired. I'm 73. I take care of my mother." I said, "Harry, after 40 years of working in the sugar factory, what's your retirement?" He said, "I get 16 EC dollars a week." I said, "Harry, you know what that is in American money? $6. And I said, "You and your mom live on $6 a week? 16 EC? He said, "God provides." I said, well, let the 13th Street Baptist Church provide a little too. And I gave him $100 EC from you. And we're going to send him some occasionally. You see, I think about, you know, all these cries for money, and you don't know where it goes or to whom it goes or where it stops or who pilfers it. But if we can send things like to Danny and to Walter and to Milton, we can send money and things down. They can distribute it. I had so many places where I could give that people needed help. Flat needed help. There was a young man named Richard. Didn't have a single tooth across the front here. He's about 32 or 33. And he helps Danny with the Sandy Point Baptist Church. He opens it and closes it and takes care of it and brings the chairs and all that. He's listening to the gospel. He's not saved. He's a handsome young black man. There's not a tooth across here. I said, Richard, what'll it cost to get your front teeth put in? I said, you'd look so much better, and you'd be happier with yourself, and you smile so pretty. And he said, well, I went to a dentist, and he said he'd put them in for $110 EC. I said, that's just $45 American money. I said, tell what you do. This was on Friday. I said, you go to the dentist and tell him we'll 13th Street Baptist Church pay for you four new teeth right across the front. He said, would you? I said, we'll do it. $45. That's worth it, isn't it? Change that man's whole life. And these are things that they just don't have anything. They just don't have. And there's Naomi. Naomi did my washing for me while I was down there. She is the maid, helps Danny around the house. Cleans up, washes the dishes, and washes the clothes. She washed my clothes. Naomi had her first child. She's 13. And now she has two and another one on the way, and she's living with some fella. She used to work over at the hotel on the beach, but of course she's expecting now, and they laid her off, and she's just without, except for what she gets working for Danny, you know. And of course we give her some money. And these people, they're just, it's hard for me to describe the poverty and the need of these people. But what I'm getting at is this. To be without food, clothing, and shelter, that's difficult. That's a hard life. We don't know anything about that. It's like we haven't resisted unto blood, and none of us have really hurt. I don't know in my life I've ever gone to bed hungry. I don't know in my life, I don't believe I've ever been without clothes. I don't believe I've ever been without medical attention. I don't believe I've ever been without not only the necessities, but I've always had the luxuries, and you have too. And I don't know what it is to be without these things. But these people do, and to be without help is unfortunate. To be without friends is a lonely existence. To be without freedom is painful. But I'm telling you, to be without Christ is the worst thing in the world. I'd rather be without all these things than to be without Christ. What I'm saying is we're taking the gospel to these people. These people who are without food and without health and without friends and without all these clothing and shelters and other things that we have so much of, but yet they have Christ. They're hearing the gospel. And that's the best thing we can do for them. Take them the gospel. And give these other things as we're able. But you know, if I'm not appealing for us to do humanitarian work all over the world and relieve pain and relieve hunger and relieve these things so much as I am for us to preach the gospel of Christ. And that relieves the greatest distress. That's what's important. To be without Christ. Turn over here to Romans 8. Better to be without everything than to be without Christ. Better to be without everything than to be without Christ. It says here in verse 18 of Romans 8, Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. I tell you, old Dennis lives in one room, but he lives with Christ. He loves the gospel, and he's a happy man. He's a happy man. And Brother Harry lives on $6 a week and takes care of his invalid mother, but he waddles up there to every service and sits and listens and rejoices in the gospel. Rejoices in the gospel. But I reckon, he says, verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If a man has Christ, he has all he needs. He has all he needs. Newton put it this way, content with beholding his face, my all to his pleasure resign. No changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. While blessed with a sense of his love, a palace, a toy would appear. And prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. To have Christ is to have everything. Old Bishop Latimer, I read one time, Bishop Latimer was in prison down at Aberdeen. And he wrote a letter to a friend, and he wrote up here on his return address, Bishop Latimer in the Lord's palace in Aberdeen. That's grace, isn't it? Sitting there in a little old room with one table and a chair and a cot and a candle, this man who had been the companion of kings, this man who at one time walked in the corridors of Henry VIII as chaplain, now sat in prison for his faith, and he could write his return address, the Lord's Palace in Aberdeen. If we could get a hold of that, to have Christ is to have everything. I'm talking about Christ, the Rock of Ages. All else is sinking sand. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the vine. Apart from him, we're withered branches. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the water of life. All else is dry and thirsty land. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the bread of life. All else is hunger, poverty, and want. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. I tell you this, and I weigh these words carefully. I had rather be where Dennis is in his little room without this world's goods and have Christ than to be where many people are in this country in all of their plenty, in all of their power, in all of their luxury, and be without Christ. I'd rather be. Now this may, look at our text again, Ephesians 2:12. This may seem to you to be a hard statement. You are without Christ. But my friend, it's not my invention. It falls from the pen of the great apostle, the writer of the New Testament epistles under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says there's some people who are without Christ. Without Christ. Now, what does it mean to be without Christ? What does it mean to be without Christ? Fella may say, well, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't embrace your gospel. So what? Let me give you five things to be without Christ. Number one, to be without Christ is to be without God. Now you think without God. I mean without God. A man may have a God of his imagination. And the word image comes from imagination, doesn't it? An image, a graven image, an idol. He may have a God of his image or imagination, an idol, but he's without the living God. It says that here. It says in verse 12, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God. A man who's without Christ is without God. He has no relationship with God. He has no favor in the sight of God. He's without God. You see, Jesus Christ is not a messenger only. He's the messenger of the covenant, but not a messenger only. He's not Mary's son only. He's not the surety of the covenant only. He's God. He's God. The scripture says, he that hath the Son hath the Father. And he that hath not the Son hath not the Father. No man knoweth the Son, the Father, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. We are foolish and misguided to consider the Father and the Son separately. They're one, and they're the same. And this is the seriousness of this thing. If you're here this morning, or anyone listens to this tape later, and you're without Christ, I'm saying that you're without God. You have no relationship with God. You have no favor in the sight of God. You have no knowledge of God. No man knoweth the Father but the Son. He to whom the Son will reveal it. Check Colossians 1 just a moment. Now listen to this. Colossians 1. They're one and the same. The Father and the Son. No man can know the Father who does not know the Son. In Colossians 1, listen. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us sufficient to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of whom? His dear Son, or the Son of His love. In whom we have redemption, that is, in the Son of His love, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, and He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature, for by Him, by this Son of His love, were all things created that are in heaven, earth, and under the earth, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities and powers, and all things were created by Him and for Him. A man is misguided to even consider the Father and the Son separately. They're one and the same. You can't know the Father without knowing the Son. And if you know the Son, you know the Father. Let me give you an illustration. Let me use Bob here a minute. You say this morning, I know Bob Coffey, the father of Carrie. I know Bob Coffey, the father of Carrie. I do not know Bob Coffey, son of Margie. That's foolish. They're one and the same. If you know Bob Coffey, father of Carrie, you know Bob Coffey, son of Margie. They're one and the same. You can't know Bob Coffey, son of Margie, without knowing Bob Coffey, father of Carrie. It's impossible. And I'm saying you can't know Jesus Christ, Son of God, unless you know the Father, because they're one. He said, I and my Father are one. See what I'm saying? They're one. When you meet the Son of God, you meet the Father. When you meet Bob Coffey, father of Carrie, you meet Bob Coffey, son of Margie. That's right. You meet, when you walk up and shake hands with Bob Coffey, father of Carrie, you're shaking hands with Bob Coffey, son of Margie. If you love and know and worship Jesus Christ, Son of God, you know, love, and worship the Father. If you don't know Jesus Christ, Son of God, you never met the Father. It's just that clear. They're one and the same. And we've divided them. We've talked about the Father, and we've talked about Him in such terms that we've ignored the Son. They're one and the same. They're one and the same. I and my Father are one. To be without Christ is to be without God. Please believe me, that's so. You can't know God. Oh, I've never embraced Christ. I've never received Christ. I've never loved Christ. I've never known Christ. But I believe there's a God. You're a fool. You've got an idol. You know nothing about that God because He's in Christ. He is Christ. All things were made by Him. You don't know Christ, you don't know God. You've got an idol. You've got an image. You don't know God. They're one and the same. See how foolish it would be to say, I know Bob, father of Carrie, but I don't know Bob, son of Mike. You're a fool. They're not two different people. They're one and the same. And I know the Father because I met the Son. And I know the Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I know the Father. That's so. To be without Christ, without God. Secondly, to be without Christ is to be without hope. I mean no hope. Seal up the mind and go home. It says here, look at verse 12. That time you were without Christ, look at the last line. Having no hope. Without Christ is to have no hope. Christ is our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There was a mind cave in. I don't remember where it was. But some time ago, there was a mine cave in, and there were a number of men back there in that mine, deep in that mine, 2 miles or so. And the rescue teams were trying to get those men out. And the families, the ambulances were out here, the fire trucks, the rescue squads, the families, the lots of fire. Everybody stayed around the mouth of that mine for days and days. And they kept issuing bulletins. They kept going in there, rescue squads, and digging and trying to get in and all this sort of thing. Finally, they all came out. And they said, there's no hope. And they sealed that mine. Y'all remember that? They sealed that mine. And the families all stood here and they sealed that mine and wrote a lot of things on it. And they turned and went home. They quit digging. And I'm telling you this, without Christ, you can quit digging. Now, you can quit seeking. You can quit searching. You can quit digging. But there ain't no hope. There is no hope. Without Christ is to be without hope. It's to go home and forget it. Get ready for judgment. To be without Christ. And then thirdly, and this is how serious it is. Thirdly, to be without Christ is to be without a high priest and without a sacrifice. Now, brethren, I want to tell you in as simple terms as I know how to put it. There's no son of Adam, no son of Adam, no fallen, guilty, sinful son of Adam, male or female, preacher or who, can come into the presence of God even for the least whimper of prayer, even for the least acknowledgement, even for the least plea of mercy, even for the least recognition. No son of Adam can come anywhere near the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, even to have a glimpse from God or acknowledgement from God without a high priest and a suitable sacrifice. Now, there's not a whole lot of people in this world that know that. And the average person thinks they've got some kind of idea. I don't know where they got it. But we got some kind of idea that God is some sort of judge or king or monarch or ruler who has his righteous inclinations and his just leanings and his holy attitude. But he really is a lovely person. And he really wants people to come around. And no matter whether it's the still small voice or a yell or a thunder cry or a fellow, God's always standing by ready to come to our rescue when we turn and holler it in his direction. Well, let me tell you something. If I understand this book, if I understand what's being said in this book, Almighty God, God is a spirit. The invisible, eternal, infinite, almighty God who's revealed in the person of his Son. But that living, sovereign God is holiness, perfect, immaculate holiness that will not permit even a spot or an atom of disagreement. That God is righteousness, unbending, unyielding righteousness. That God is justice, pure, immaculate, unchanging justice. And he can and will have no dealings at all with sin or sinners apart from a priest, a great high priest of his own designation, of his own choosing, of his own choice and ordination. And that priest, having with him a sacrifice and sin offering suitable and acceptable to that God, which is in agreement with his holiness and his justice and his righteousness, performed in such a way that that holiness is satisfied and that justice is honored and that righteousness fulfilled, and God will not suffer any creature to come into his presence apart from that one thing, a priest and a sacrifice. Now, I believe that's correct. Let's turn to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And this is what I'm saying. The glad tidings, the good news, is unto you is born a Savior. The glad tidings, the good news, is that for God so loved the world. The glad tidings, the good news, is that God, in the fullness of time, sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The good news is that God has set forth his Son to be a propitiation, a mercy seat, a great high priest, a sin offering, that God may be just and the justifier of those who believe. In Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4, verse 13, neither is any creature is not manifest in his sight, for all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 16, let us therefore come. Why? We have a high priest. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. All right, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And it says here in verse 11, talking about these Old Testament priests, they stood daily offering the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made a footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected. Now I can come to God. I'm righteous. Now I can approach God. I'm holy. Now I can come into his presence because I am pure. Christ made me holy. He made me righteous. He made me pure. He perfected me. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Read down in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which he hath now made. New made, consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. I tell you, Isaac knew that. When Isaac and Abraham started up on the mountain, he told those men, we're going up to worship God, I and the lad. The boy said, well, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb? You can't worship God without a lamb. So to be without Christ is without God. Is to be without hope, is to be without a priest and a sacrifice. He is our priest. Let me show you one other scripture, Hebrews 5. Turn over to Hebrews 5 a moment. This is so important. Hebrews 5, listen to this. Verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men, that's talking about the sons of Aaron, Levi, is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that high priest may offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. And that high priest can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for he himself is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that's called of God, as was Aaron. Watch this now. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that saith unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, he's the one that made him the high priest. He's the one. And there's only one, and that's Christ. Verse 10 says he's called of God. Called of God. A high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. My friend, let me tell you something. To be without Christ, to be without God, is to be without hope, is to be without that priest that God the Father himself elected selected, chose. He said, that's the one through whom you come. If you read that Old Testament, and Charlie, you've read it so many times, those people that tried to come to God, without that priest, he killed every one. He killed them. Even a high-ranking king like Uzziah, God turned him into a leper because he dared to try to come into the temple and offer a sacrifice. He killed Saul, King Saul, for the same, better to obey than to sacrifice. Doesn't pertain to us to come without one. All right, in the fourth place, to be without Christ is to be without heaven. Now I know that almost everybody here holds out some kind of hope for heaven. That island where I've just been preaching, that's the most religious place. You can't believe it. They have a weekly paper called the Labor Spokesman. They have two parties there. They have the Democrat paper and the Labor Spokesman. Brother Shanks writes an article in both of them. But the Democrat, the PAM, the People's Activist Movement, is in power, and the Labor is out of power, and they're fighting one another. But the Labor Spokesman, across the headlines, the Labor Spokesman, and it has a scripture quotation. And they met together and sang their theme song the other night. You know the tune? I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. That's everything religious down there. And everybody's got a hope for heaven. But let me tell you something, and I say it as plain as I can. Heaven is inseparably connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't... I need not entertain any hope of celestial cities and family reunions and streets of gold and eternal happiness apart from Christ. Now, we need not entertain such things. Heaven is inseparably connected with Christ. When those people stood at the judgment, Christ did not say, depart from heaven. He said, depart from me. Isn't that what he said? Depart from me. Tell you something else. Christ said to the thief, today you're going to be in paradise. No, he didn't. He said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. The Apostle Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and go to heaven and be with Christ, which is far better. The song of heaven is unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin. Now, I'm going to try to be a faithful pastor. I'm going to try to be a faithful preacher. And in being a faithful pastor and a faithful preacher, you're not always going to be popular because you have to tell the truth. And I'm telling you the truth. To be without Christ. Now, forget it. We're not going to be together in heaven. They sing that song, I dreamed I searched heaven for you. Well, I'll tell you, if a man's in Christ, you'll find him there. And if he's not in Christ, forget it. That's just so. That's just so. And I don't want to be difficult or be hard. I'm just telling the truth. I'm saying that to be without Christ is to be without God. And I mean, that's Christ as he's revealed in his saving character. Please understand that. I'm talking about being without the Christ of the Bible. I'm talking about being without the Christ of creation. I'm talking about being without the Christ of incarnation. I'm talking about being without the Christ of representation. I'm talking about being without the cross, Christ of the cross. I'm talking about being without the Christ of righteousness. Without that Christ, you're without God. You're without hope. Without hope. You're without a priest. You're without a sacrifice. And you're without heaven. Now, just briefly, who are the people who are without Christ? Let me give you this just briefly. You can fill it in yourself. Number one, a man is without Christ who's never heard the true saving gospel of Christ. That's so. He's without Christ if he's never heard. Now, you listen to Romans 10, beginning with verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him
in whom they have not believed.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? A man's without Christ who has not heard the true gospel of God's redeeming grace. Now, my friends, you may think I'm too hard, but I'm saying this. The preaching of Christ is more than just to stand up and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm telling you, you say, I don't want that deep doctrine. You can't separate the Christ from the teachings of Christ. You can't separate Christ from the revelations of Christ, can you, Bill? We're going to have to tell who he is. And a man who hasn't heard of the Christ of the Bible is trusting a different Jesus. Secondly, a man is without Christ who has not personally himself believed on Christ as he's revealed in the Scripture and embraced him personally by faith. Are you listening? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So therefore, not to believe on him and not to confess him is not to be saved. All right, thirdly, quickly. And I'm saying a man can be a preacher and not know Christ. Judas what? A man can be very moral and not know Christ, the rich young ruler what? A man can be very religious and not know Christ, Nicodemus was. A man may profess faith and be baptized and not know Christ, Simon did. A man may be a church official and a companion of apostles and not know Christ, Demas was. Paul said, oh, that I may know him, that I may win Christ and be found in him. But thirdly, a man is without Christ. Now hold on to you. Brother Shelton used to say we're going to jump a creek. Hang on to your pew. So you won't get bumped off. A man's without Christ who does not continue in the faith of Christ. That's so. Honestly, that's so. Believe me, that's so. Turn back to Hebrews. Believe me, that's so. The apostle says the fellow that's crowned is the fellow that crosses the finish line. Isn't that what he said? The only people you remember in a race is those that win. Nobody remembers those that drop out. And he says here in Hebrews 3, listen, verse 6, Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Verse 14, for we made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. One other scripture, Colossians 1. Colossians 1. And I know that we have a way of, somehow we have a way of, and we want to be generous and compassionate, but we have a way of including ourselves in the benefits and promises of God without meeting the requirements, don't we? Scott Richardson once said this, and it's true. We have no reason to claim any promise unless, to some degree, we meet the conditions of the promise. And it says here in Colossians 1:22, and he hath redeemed us, reconciled us in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith. Now, you do what you will, say what you will, argue all you will, but these three things are true. A man's without Christ, who's never heard of the Christ of the Bible. A man's without Christ, who has never consciously, intelligently, lovingly, willingly, himself personally, believed that gospel and said, I will. I will embrace Christ. I will go to Jesus, though my sins hath like a mountain raised. I'll say to him, I'm a wretch undone without his sovereign grace. I'm going to Christ. And thirdly, a man's without Christ who does not faithfully continue in the gospel of Christ. He lays down the sword, he's out of the war. He lays down the flag, he's out of the army. he turns his back on Christ, he'll never turn his face back to Christ. If they depart, he said it's impossible to renew them to repentance. Isn't that what it said in Hebrews 6? But here's a delightful word as I close in Ephesians 2. You said you closed your Bible. I thought you were through. Well, let me say this in closing. Now that I've got your attention. It says in verse 12, Ephesians 2, you are without Christ, having no hope without God. Here's the good news. But now, verse 13, but right now, in Christ, nowhere, you who were at one time, how far off were we? How far off were we? Good gracious, far off. Are made where? Nigh. Nigh, right in the presence of God. How? By the blood of Christ. Bill, that's a sermon itself. Right now, you who were so far off, having no hope, strangers, aliens, without God, without hope, are right in the bosom of the Father, right on the right hand of God, seated with Christ. But I'm telling you, by the blood of Christ, it's in Christ, it's through Christ, it's for Christ. I can't emphasize it too much. And our Sunday school lesson says, you preach that, and you'll comfort the saints and run off the unruly. You preach that.